Good morning, good morning. Oh, come on, you could do better than that. Good morning. Well, let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. All right, now I just got finished hearing you singing how good he was and that he is so, so good. Come on, we could do better than that. Give God a hand clap of praise now. Let me say welcome to all of you, especially if you're a first-time guest, a very special welcome to you. For all of our family and friends who are joining us live on Facebook, we certainly are glad to have you with us as well. If you don't know who I am KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And before we get started this morning, let me just say, I want to personally say thank you to God because I am surrounded by such generous people here at Gateway. I am pleased and proud to announce that the children's names that was on the tree outside that we were looking to help during Christmas time, all of the names are gone, meaning that someone has decided to help those during this Christmas season. And I'm so grateful, Gateway, for your generosity. Even if you're there at home, maybe some of you got some of those names. I know some people were asking others to bring them a name, but I am blessed. And just because there are no names on the tree doesn't mean that there aren't other people that are seeking. So if you truly have a desire to help, I believe God will send them your way. Amen. But I'm grateful to be here with you today, and I am grateful for this opportunity to share from the Word of God. Can you guys hear me okay? Right before we get into the Word, let me say this one last thing. Anytime you have an opportunity through song, to praise and worship God, I challenge you to take that opportunity because God says he could have the rocks cry out if he wants to. So I would not dare let a rock cry out in my place after I've just been singing how good God is. So seek every opportunity that God gives you to give him praise. And I promise you won't have a lot of time to think about that because there is so much that he is praiseworthy for. Amen. But let's see what God has laid before us today. Because of the holiday season, particularly Christmas, last week we were reminded by the author of Hebrews about the importance of the Son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He, as we say every year, is the reason for the season. It pleased God the Father. This is what we learned last week. It pleased God the Father that his son would be the heir of all things. And how fitting would that be? Because it was through him, through Jesus, through God the Son, that all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus truly is, or should be rather, the reason for the season. We also learned that he is the radiance of God's glory. The Apostle John says it this way: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's also the exact representation of his being, of God's nature. All of the fullness of deity dwells in him in bodily form. Paul, as he writes to the Colossians, says he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ fully manifested God's presence in this world. And not only that, Jesus is now upholding, or he is sustaining all things by the power of his word, meaning he is sovereign. Nothing frustrates his plans, so I don't have to fear about anything that goes on in this world. And last but not least, we talked about last week that Jesus alone, the importance of the Son, Jesus alone provided purification for our sins. It was his work on the cross that was able to cleanse anybody from all of their sin and guilt. And we will see that even emphasized in the text that we're going to look at today. And so last week we finished with Jesus Christ is now sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. denoting that his earthly ministry of providing salvation is finished and that he now has all power in his hands. That's how important the Son is. That's what we learned last week. Now today, we're going to go back to the Hebrew author's letter because he gives more clarity on why Jesus was made fully human. Well, I want to approach it today. You know, if God wanted to save us, why not just snap your fingers, God? Why not just speak a word and let everybody be saved? And let's just get this heavenly party started right now. Why go through such a great length to send your Son and him be made fully human for mankind? As you were singing in the song today, the angel appearing to Joseph said to Mary, his wife, that he's going to be, your wife is going to have a son. And I want you to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. But why Emmanuel, which means God with us, why God had to come and be made like us? And so for those who have their Bibles, I want you to turn again with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. If you do not have your Bibles, don't worry. We'll have it up on the screen for you. Even there at home, you can follow us along right there on the screen. But we'll be coming from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And I'll be reading from the NIV version for those who are inquiring about which version we're looking at. Hebrews chapter 2, four verses here, 14 through 17. The Bible reads this way: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Finally, verse 17 reads this way: for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. I've entitled today's text for your remembrance, Made Like Us. Made Like Us. Let's pray together very quickly. Thank you, Lord, our Father in heaven, for the riches of the truth of what you've done for us in Christ Jesus, your Son, Father. Thank you that he is the Savior and he is alive today. I thank you for this grace opportunity you've given me to remind these people why he was made like us. So I pray, God, that you will have your way in this place. Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Made like us. As I shared with you last week, beginning in Hebrews chapter 1, the book of Hebrews is about the importance of the Son. It's about Jesus, how great he is, how superior he is to everyone and everything. And so the Hebrew writer begins by showing how superior Jesus is even to angels. And that's why you sung earlier today. That's why the Magi, the wise men from the East, they came to worship this baby, because he is superior to everyone and everything. That's why when the angels announced to those shepherds living out there in the fields nearby Bethlehem that today a Savior is born. And when that angel said this, suddenly a host of angels came and surrounded the shepherd boy, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favors rest." Jesus, the Son of God, is so important. He is superior to everyone and everything. He's so much greater than the angels that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, he says, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Let all the angels worship him. There is none greater than God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons comprising in one eternal God. And the one born at Bethlehem, the one made like us, is himself fully deity. And he's fully man. He is made like us. Now last week we talked a little bit about why the Son of God was born into the human race. We learned what? He provided the purifications for our sins. And today's text is just going to elaborate on that a little bit more. But I want you to stop and think for just a moment. The birth of Christ, the reason for the season, the reason he is made like us, it's about our hopeless condition. Where do we go? What can any of us do? How can we possibly be made acceptable to God? The answer from God is, you and I can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. God says, I will have to do it. I will have to do it. So he has his son. See the importance of the son? He has his son. For God so loved the world that what? He sent his only begotten son in order that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So then we come into chapter 2 of Hebrews here. And there's a question asked in chapter 2 at the first part of verse 3 there. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? If the eternal Son of God, through whom we learn all creation was brought into existence, if he steps down off his throne of glory, born into the human race to suffer and die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin and yours, how could we expect to escape the judgment of God if we neglect that type of salvation? That's why in verse 1 of this same chapter, he says, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we don't drift away. If you neglect him, and I'm getting to the text, if you neglect him, talking about Jesus, not if you don't go to church. Yes, I do believe in this same book, Hebrews says, do not forsake to assemble yourselves together. But if you don't go to church, not that if you're not religious, not if you haven't done this or that, but if you have not accepted what God has provided, the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ, then according to that, you have drifted to destruction. And that's the picture that question is centered around. That how in the world can any of us escape the judgment that God has promised would come if he's went through such a great length by sending his only son to be made like us, to suffer and die so that he can offer all of us the free gift of salvation. And yet, sadly, I stand here today to say 2,000 years later, we have people still thinking that they're going to be saved just because they've been baptized or because they've been trying to be a good person or they've been trying to keep the Ten Commandments or all these other religious activities, whatever. Some even believe that I know I'm going to be saved because I don't believe God will allow anybody to go to hell. But you're not taking the word of God very seriously. The Hebrew writer is sending a strong warning there. How can you expect to escape the judgment? He's showing you the importance of the Son. And today we're going to see why he was made like us. That's what the Christmas story tells us. The birth of Christ. Him being made like us was just that serious and that necessary. So serious that our only hope of being rescued from our sins and the consequences of that sin is God's son indeed had to come and be born just like us to pay our penalty. And then God could say, I got a free gift that's available to anyone and to everyone. What do you got to do? You got to let go of anything and everything that you're trusting in That's what you have to do. You can't, anything that you're holding in a place of anything besides faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Well, what about my church membership? I was baptized at Gateway. Don't mean anything. Faith alone in Jesus Christ alone is God's gift of salvation. In fact, Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before the child would even be born, even though he prophesied about this child, says, there is none righteous, not even one, in the sight of God. He says, anything that you think you do is good is but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. So today, in these four verses, I just want to point out three quick things that I learned from the Hebrew writer as to why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why was he made like us? Look at verse 14 again for me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Since the children have flesh and blood, children here would be, it represents all of mankind, since in the sense that God created all of mankind in his likeness and in his image. So in that sense, we are the children of God. No other creation did God give his image and likeness but human beings. And so in that sense, we are his children. And he says, since the children have flesh and blood, all that simply means is that they are human beings. We use that same expression today. You know, you might speak of a relative, someone, oh, you know, here's my flesh and blood. You're talking about a human being. You don't say that about your pet. So when you say flesh and blood, it's just talking about human beings. But since the children, since mankind is made of flesh and blood, they are human beings. Just as our physical children are made in our image and likeness, so all of mankind is made into the image and likeness of God. So what's he saying? Since they are made in flesh and blood, he too share in their humanity. This is why he was made like us. He's a human. He's become flesh and blood. He's become like us. The one from eternity past, the one who created all things, the one who has no beginning and no end, has now done the unthinkable, almost the incomprehensible. He is made like us. And that's talking about his birth at Bethlehem, what we're getting ready to celebrate this time of year. He was born there as a real, true human being, flesh and blood. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in that humanity. And so now we're getting to the three points I want to point out, the three reasons, because you're going to see it says, so that, and so that, and for this reason. So now he's going to tell us why he was made like us. He tells us what he did at the beginning of 14 there, since we're human beings. He shared in that humanity. He became a human being. He was born a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. So that, here's the first reason. Here's the first reason he was made like you and me. No, go back for me. So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. The first reason, the first thing I learned from this Hebrew author is Jesus was made like you, KP, so that by his death, I learned right off the bat that he was made like me to die. By his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. You know, people don't take the devil very seriously today. They make all kinds of jokes about him. But this devil is a real, true spirit being. Now, I'm not trying to glorify him by any means, but he was created an angel, and not just like any angel. I mean a spectacular angel. But at some point in time, he rebelled against God and a whole host of angels. It says a third of them. They joined in with him, what we call demons today. And so they were, so now I learned from this, though, that Jesus Christ was made like me so that he could die, because he wants to break the power of this devil, the one who holds the power of death. One of the things that I found, Dale, that most people don't understand is that every person that's born into the human race is not only born with a sinful nature, but you are under the control of the evil one. That's not my opinion. That's what Scripture speaks about. The Bible puts it this way. The whole world, meaning all the people in the world, lies under the power of the evil one. We are born in sin. We are corrupted by sin. We are a rebellious people from birth. We're selfish. We're self-centered by nature. And that's why Scripture says all have come short of the glory of God. All people, no one meets the standard of a holy God. See, we like to pick out certain categories of sin, you know, because I'm not a rapist, I'm not a killer, I don't do this or I don't do that, that somehow I'm okay. But every single person is sinful and guilty before a holy and a righteous God. And now here's the kicker, because we get into why he had to be made like us, why he didn't just snap his fingers, why he didn't just speak it and let everybody be saved. Because a holy and righteous God says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. As sinners, we live our lives in authority under the control of the evil one, and that sinful debt has to be paid. So he was made like us, so that by his sacrifice, by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Let me explain real quick something about death. Death in the Bible means separation. And I want to, the penalty for our sin is death. It's talking about your physical death, your spiritual death, and eternal death. Now, I know spiritual and eternal go together, and I'm going to explain in a moment. But it means separation. So when you physically die, your spirit separates from your body. There's never a time that any of us are going to cease to exist, because we're spirit on the inside. So, but when you physically die, your spirit separates from your body. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and that day all men died in Adam, it was talking about your spiritual death. It means separated from God. What Adam and Eve, our parents, the original humans in the garden did, it separated all of us from God immediately. You're born now separated from God. And that's why Jesus would have to tell Nicodemus, wait a minute, KP, you said we were all children of God. He tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, well, that's crazy. I can't enter into my mother's womb a second time. That doesn't make sense. No, Nicodemus, you don't understand. I'm not talking about the flesh and blood. I'm talking about you must be born of water in the spirit. This is the spiritual death that I'm talking about. You don't realize, Nicodemus, you're separated spiritually from God. And in that sense, you must be born again. And marvel not, nobody is going to enter into the kingdom of God if they are not born again. And so eternal death would be eternally separated from God, meaning that if you're not born again, you will forever be separated from God. So, physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. He was made like us so that by his death, by his sacrifice on the cross, he would break the power of him who holds the power of death. Satan holds the power of death. Well, he did. Not anymore. But as the Hebrew writer is writing, he who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So he was made like you, and we're going to learn a little bit more here in just a moment, because the wages of sin is death. It has to be paid. God, the holy God, cannot go back on his word now, and since the wages of sin is death, and say, well, no, nobody has to pay it. It has to be paid. A human has to pay for the human consequences of sin. So hopefully you're seeing now the clarity of he had to be made like you, fully God, fully man, so that he can satisfy the sin of man. Go to the next verse for me. Look at the second thing here. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Think about this. And I believe this is speaking more to the physical death, because all of us, it's appointed unto man to die. After that, the judgment. All of us, even with what Jesus Christ has done, all of us, unless he comes back first, all of us are going to face physical death, even if you are saved. And most of us, if we're honest, that unknown, it kind of bothers you some, don't it? Especially, I just celebrated a birthday. As you get older and older, it starts to you start to wonder about that thing. But the reason he was made like us, to free all of us who were held in slavery by that fear of death, because of what Jesus Christ did, because he was made like us, because he came in that manger, grew up, experienced the same things that we experienced, even unto death. Now, for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, those who trust him alone for their salvation, even though we might experience physical death, we now have spiritual life in Jesus Christ, so that we will have or live eternally with him rather than separated from him. He was made like us because the wages of sin is death. Knowing that all are guilty before a holy God, all would have to experience the judgment of death. Not just the physical, but the spiritual and the eternal. But God, being rich in his mercy, and this is where we're getting ready to go here in just a moment. I'll do it for you. How are you going to do that, God? You can't go back on your word. I'll become a man. I'll be made like you. And even though I don't know sin, I will take all of your sin and all of you who are watching out there, all of your sin into my body. And I will let them crucify me. So that, what we learned last week, I will be what? I will provide purification for your sins. See, as much as I love my wife and my kids, I can't pay for their sins because I'm a sinner too. But the one who knew no sin, holy and blameless before the Father, says, I will take all of their sins in my body. Would that be acceptable, Father? Yes. And he died to take away the power of the one who holds death in his hand, that is Satan, and to free us, all of those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Go to the next one for me here, 16. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And here the writer goes back to the promise. It was always God's plan to provide salvation for mankind. For surely it is not angels. He didn't become like the angel to save the angels. He was made like us. It was so that he can help Abraham's descendants, so he could fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham, and not just to the Jews. Because he says to Abraham, in you, all of the nations will be blessed. How is that going to happen? Abraham didn't even understand. Even the prophets in the Old Testament didn't understand it. But one day, I will be made like you. And I will, we're getting ready to see in 17, I will be the atonement for your sins. He was made like us, to take away the power of the one who holds death in his hand. He was made like us so that we don't have to fear physical death, because we will spend eternity with him. He was made like us. Not anything else. Not animals, not angels, but us. So that he could help us in our time that looked like we were hopeless. And the third reason, or fourth if you want to count it that way, I count two and three together, 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. He had to, in order to pay the debt, the wages of sin is death, he had to be made fully human in every way that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. The high priest was the mediator between God and man in the Old Testament. The high priest was the one that went and offered a sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God from man. But what the high priest had to keep doing is coming back over and over and over again because man had a sinful nature. Over and over again. But Jesus was made like us, fully human in every way, so that he might become the merciful and faithful high priest. There is one mediator now between God and man. That is Jesus Christ, that he might make atonement for the sins of people. Now that Jesus, who knew no sin, took your sins, there's no need for anybody to go back before God on our behalf. When Jesus sat down at the right hand, like we learned last week, of majesty, it is finished. That's what his words on the cross. It is finished. He provided salvation. He was made like us so that man could be saved. Now, here's the thing that really frustrates me as I try to explain this to people. We get so upset because the preacher man says that the Bible says there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved but Jesus. Y'all are too narrow-minded as Christians. There is more than one way to God. If there was another way, there was no reason for him to come. Why would God step off his throne of glory to come if there was another way? He even gave the law to his children of Israel and said even the law wasn't going to save them. It came as an educator, a tutor, to show them just how sinful they were, that they could not keep it. Yes, it seems narrow, but he says, whosoever will. Says it's only one way, but I'll let all of y'all come through it. I was made like y'all. I gave every man my image, my likeness. I did it for a reason, so that they would rule the earth, that they would rule in my place over my creation. But something happened. We all know the story of the fall of man, Satan, Adam and Eve, and all of that info. But even then, he could not stop what I had willed from the beginning. There is a way. The way was I had to become like you to make that way. I became fully human in every way so that I could be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now, I didn't include 18, but if you go on and you read it, you'll see that he was tempted just as we were tempted. That he knows the struggles that we have even, yet he knows those struggles without sin. So that he could be, as the last part, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. I need you to understand out there, that's why we celebrate. Yeah, we're not going to argue. You might even be right about the date. But the fact is, God was made like us, fully human in every way. And he became the mediator between man and himself so that now there can be peace between God and man. I'm so glad that baby came, Dale. I'm so glad he was made like us. I'm so glad because he now has atoned, not just for my sins, but for all the sins of the world. But get this, it can only be applied to you. It can only be credited to you when you let go of your trust in anything else and place your complete faith in Jesus Christ alone. And I tell you today, gateway into our family and friends out there, that's why he was made like us. I want you to make the note, Ephesians chapter 2, one that's very familiar, but I want to read it in your hearing because I believe it captures all of this of what the Hebrew writer was saying. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Talking about you were spiritually dead. You were separated from God in your trespasses and sins. Now, as Paul wrote to these Ephesians, they were physically alive. But he says you were dead in your trespasses. So he's talking about spiritually there. And I believe that's true of all of us. But he says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air. That's the devil, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. He says, among them we do all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. He says, we were by nature children of wrath. Because what? We're sinners because we're rebellious against God. Our very nature made us objects of God's wrath. The wages of sin is death. But then he says this. Here it is. But God being rich in mercy. See how it says he's our merciful and faithful high priest there. But God being rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. Made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I am encouraged. It was necessary. He had to, or you and I would not have any hope. He was made like us to strip away the power of Satan, who hold death in his hand, the devil. He was made like us so that we don't have to fear physical death, though all of us may experience it unless Jesus Christ come back. But I don't have to worry about that death. I like something Pastor John told me about Colin. Sometimes it encourages him. Sometimes he'll see the face of, yeah, for those who don't know, Colin works in the medical field. He's a nurse, and sometimes he sees and witnesses people pass away physically, and he talks about the calmness on some of them faces or the smile. And I have to believe it because they have some assurance there. They have a peace that's there. Now, I want you to get twisted because maybe you witnessed somebody or a loved one pass away with grimace on their face from the physical pain. But there's coming a day because he was made like us when there will be no more pain, no more tears. He was made like us fully in every way so that he could be the mediator. He would bridge. He would, what seemed impossible was now possible with God by becoming like us so that the latter part of that, our sins would be atoned for. Father, thank you so much for our time together today. God, glory to your name, God. That's why we celebrate, God. There's a Savior. And his salvation was great enough to save me, God, and it's great enough to save anyone, God. And I just thank you right now, God, that in your wisdom, after the counsel of your own wisdom, your ways and thoughts being so much higher than ours, that it pleased you to make the wisdom of this world foolish. They think what you did was foolish, God. But even in what they call foolish, God, is your wisdom that you were made like us so that you might restore what you initially had will for us, and that is a personal and intimate relationship with you in eternity forever. I thank you, God, for becoming like us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, if you're not used to if you're first time here or you're not used to what we do here at Gateway in the End, after the message, I give you an opportunity. If the message has resonated with you in any way, Joy comes, he plays softly. And what we do is you could come to my left, your right, kneel on the altar here. I know it's not a physical thing of what you see, but you get it. It's the altar of your heart that matters. But you kneel and you pray and you have a talk with God alone. Or maybe you wish or desire for somebody to pray with you as an encourager. You can come to my right, your left, and kneel, and someone who is trained as such will come. Yes, I try to remind you that I know you can do it right there at home, or you can do it right there in your seats, but it is something about public display that to tell the world that I God, I hear you, and I want to be obedient to what you have will for my life. If you don't know him, if you do not know him as your personal savior, if you were one of those that thought maybe I did think I was good enough, or I did think, oh, you know, my parents had me baptized when I was a baby, so I thought that's what saved me. If you want to know more, I'd be happy to talk to you. I got leaders here, be happy to talk to you. I got other believers here that'll be happy to talk to you. Sad part about the importance of the Son and why he was made like us, sad part about it, some people think, you know, well, I'll get it together later. God has not promised you another opportunity. Now, he may grant it to you, but he has not promised you another opportunity. Don't miss this moment right now that you can say, God, I understand now why you were made like me, so that you can save me. And it's as simple as this. You have to see yourself as God says you are. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. There is nothing I can do in my own power and strength, and there is no one here, God, except for what your Son has done for me. You said, Father, not the preacher man. The preacher man said, you said in your word, there is no other name under heaven you can be saved by. Won't you give your life to Christ if you haven't already? Won't you stand? You may be seated. I am blessed and encouraged by God's word each and every time I look in it, especially the opportunities I have to speak it. If it is settled in, the matter has been settled in your hearts. What a great opportunity to see why everybody is so sensitive during the Christmas holidays to the message. And you can simply begin that conversation with, like, do you know why he was made like us? And just tell him what you learned. He had to be made like you and I. He had to. That's the way you and I, only way you and I can have atonement for our sins. I've been blessed by God's word. I hope it's true of you. I hope you will not just let it be in song, that you will tell the world how good God has been by becoming like one of us. That, as we sung earlier, you will go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Stan, I'm going to pray for you guys, and I'm going to let you be on your way to enjoy the rest of your day. It's okay to smile, too. I don't know. There's a lot of serious faces out there. It's okay to smile. God has done a great thing. Amen? He's done a great thing. And I am so excited that he would save a sinner like me. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for blessing us today, God. Thank you for our time together today, God. I pray again, that your word would go and grip the hearts of the listeners today, God, that you were glorified in all that was said and that was done. As always, God, I pray for fertile ground for your word to find, God, so that it might, so that incorruptible seed might penetrate it, God, and bring forth a wonderful abundance of fruit, God, to your glory, God. As these people leave this place, God, I pray that in their hearts they not only understand the importance of the Son and why you came, but there's a zeal and a passion to share it with others, God, knowing that not everybody understands what you have willed for their lives. So I pray as they leave this place, you'll give them boldness, Father. You'll give them clarity when they speak. And I pray, God, that your favor and blessings will abide upon them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.